Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we're going to chat with author Sherry Meeks. We're going to talk about her book, Finding Tambril. I'm not sure how to pronounce it, Sherry, which maybe you can help me out there.
It's Finding Tambri, T-A-M-B-R-I. You were close, Sherry. You were close.
I try. I was practicing it, but I didn't know how exactly to say it. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and your background?
I sure will. I am a writer, obviously, author of Finding Tambri. I have my MFA in fiction from Southern New Hampshire University. It's getting my master's was something that I've always wanted to do. And one thing I want to let your listeners know is if you do have a dream, if there's something that you really want to do, keep going back to it. Because over the years, I kept trying to find a master's program that I could do mostly low residency or totally from home. And I kept going back to it, and my sister, Kim, would look for me occasionally, and I kept going back to it and finally found the University of Southern New Hampshire, who offered a low residency degree in fiction. And I love the program. I love going to Southern New Hampshire. So that's my main thing. Keep going. Keep trying to do the things you want to do. So now my new dream, and after that I started, I'm a creative writing instructor and I also teach English composition. I actually live in Georgia. I have two dogs named Abby and Sky. My sister, just so you know, just about her, we actually are roommates and she's a singer as well. She's a singer. And what I do now, like I said, is I teach creative writing. I teach English composition, which is something that I always wanted to do. My first degree was actually in business, which was fun. That works out, too. That helps me understand the business side of things. So that's great, too. But the main thing that I've always wanted to accomplish is to write a book and to publish a book. And that's what I've done with Finding Tambri. So I'm really excited about that.
That's really interesting. So you come from a very creative family. You're a writer. Your sister is a singer. That's pretty cool.
Yes. It is cool. And the house, even though I'm a writer, the house is usually pretty noisy between my sister singing, the dogs up and down the stairs. You know, so it's fun, though, but it's a lot of fun.
That's one of the things you have to learn is, like, to write in the noise. I mean,
exactly.
I know there's some writers who need absolute silence. I can write my first draft surrounded by people chattering away.
Yeah, me too, Sherry. I totally agree. In fact, sometimes it helps me to go somewhere, if I'm by myself at the house, to go somewhere like a coffee shop or something to hear that noise. Energy, I think, helps sometimes. I really do. And being around creative people, I'm not sure if this is true for you, but, you know, growing up with my sister, she's my younger sister, but being creative, being around people that are creative, it just kind of fuels the fire for you.
Yeah.
I think you become more creative being around creative people. And I don't know if that's true of you, but I know you're very creative. Are your siblings creative?
Well, my brother is a good artist, but he kind of gave it up for football.
Hey, that works too.
But,
whatever makes him happy.
Yeah, that's his. He was very passionate for that. I mean, he still loves football, but no, he loves art. We still love to go to museums together, but he doesn't do it himself anymore. But my mom's very creative. She's needlepoint, painting, jewelry.
Oh, wow.
She's amazing.
Wow.
And the needlepoint looks like tapestry. I mean, her stuff is gorgeous.
That is so cool.
And my dad was a writer, so I take after my daddy. Yeah.
Because
I can't
amazing,
draw a stick figure.
It is amazing. And you do, for your listeners, you want to be, if you want to, you know, move your craft forward. Hang out with people that are creative, and I find that creative people, just like you, Sherry, are very supportive, and they get excited, and you get excited, and it just helps the process. It just really helps.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm always excited for fellow writers, artists. I love all forms of creative art. I mean, like I said, I have creative family, so art is of any type, not just acting, theater, writing, visual arts. I'm a museum junkie. Galleries. You can get inspiration from anything.
Absolutely. In fact, I just started, I have a new blog post on writing prompts, and I've met this artist through Twitter. His name is Ian DeHoog, H-O-O-G, but he's offered two of his paintings to be writing prompts. So my goal is to use paintings and other works of art that that painters have created, and use that as a jumping off point for people that go to the blog to start a story or start a character sketch or, you know, whatever that image, wherever it leads them. I just think that's a great idea to have the two art forms come together and create something based off of a painting or a sculpture.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
So,
I also write fan fiction, so I get, I'm notorious. I'll watch a movie, or my mom would tell me a story, and I'll go, ooh, okay, oh, and I'll start writing a fan fiction story. I mean, not just books, but I write fan fiction, because I can't help it. I can't get it out of my head.
whatever you have to do to get those, you know, get that creativity out. And I think that that it makes some people kind of have suppressed that, Sherry. And I think they're kind of walking around knowing that they need to do something. Do you know what I mean? They either need to write a book, or they need to write fan fiction, or they need to paint, or they need to make jewelry like your mom does. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing I try to tell people is just try it. Just start. That's the hardest part. I mean, that's the hardest part. And I know you know it too. Starting to write a book, starting to write a short story. I'm sure starting a painting. That's always the hardest part. But if you can start and kind of make the usual thing, they are.
People are scared. It's sort of sad. I mean, it's scared to even try alone in your room writing.
Exactly.
I don't really get it, but they're scared.
You know what I think it's part of, Sherry? I've read a lot of psychology books and motivational books and things like that. I think it's that old lizard brain that we have, the lizard brain, that is trying to protect us from suffering and danger, but it's protecting us in the wrong way. You know what I mean? It's saying you don't need to do this work, you don't need... But if we can kind of talk to ourselves and say, you know, what will make me happy, what is best for my survival is to try this, I think it might help people kind of turn around a little bit. And it is fear. You're absolutely right. It's the fear of not making it perfect, that kind of thing. So, but you have to start. And you know, I've read different blogs, and I think it's a great idea. People want things, they do want things to be perfect, but it has to be the best you can make it. It doesn't have to be perfect. You just start, and it's not going to be great to begin with, and you just rework it and rework it. And the process itself, hopefully that can become its own goal every day, just doing it. Not, you'll eventually finish, but the process of doing whatever it is you want to do every day, I think really that's what will make most people happy. And I think you're aware of it because you write fan fiction, you write, you know, other types
novels.
Of fiction. So exactly, novels. So you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Actually, I'm going through something right now. I wrote a book called Fantasy Time, Inc., and it was pretty good. It did pretty well. But then I decided I was going to do an update. So I decided to clean it up, any mistakes I had made, and I added a chapter. And I also, at the same time, it was suggested that I do an audiobook. Well, the audiobook got done a little sooner than I thought.
Okay.
And I had a
okay.
choice, either rush the paperback and ebook or make it the best I can. And so I decided, you know, as much as I've lost the race, and that's what my blog was, I lost the race.
I love that.
And I'm going to do the book the best I can and not rush it because the audiobook is already out. Because otherwise I'd be less than happy with it. And who wants to do that?
I totally agree. And I know what you're saying, Sherry, about the, and because I'm the same way, and I'm sure a lot of people are. You become impatient, and you want things to happen more quickly, but sometimes you just have to let the process flow, and it'll work itself out. And normally mm-hmm. it will work itself out. So, and I think what you did, I think that's the perfect balance, because the audio book's out, and now you can rework the other, and you wouldn't have been happy with it. You wouldn't
That's
have been
right.
if you'd rushed, you know, and you would have been kind of miserable. I know I would have, you know. So.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the point of me doing a second edition was to make it better. And
exactly.
to rush it because the audiobook is out would have been foolish.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. I totally agree.
Sabotaging myself.
Yes. And that's what we have to do sometimes is to, you know, talk to ourselves a little bit and figure out what the true thing is that we have to do, the best thing that is for us, and you figured it out. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not always easy. It's
no,
not.
No.
We've come to the halfway point. I want to give you a chance to talk about your book. Would you like to tell
okay.
about your band, what it's about, not give a reading, but just give a general information about what it's about and what you'd like your audience to take away from it?
Absolutely. Again, it's called Finding Tambri. And the story, it's actually a novel in stories. So each chapter reads as its own short story. And you can read each chapter independently, and there'll be that plot line of a short story. And then the chapters together, the short stories together, create a novel. And at the beginning of the story, and this isn't giving anything away, but before the book begins, the title character, Tambri, has lost her son, and she suffered the disintegration of her perfect marriage because of that. So when the book starts, it's her journey to figure out who she is, also to figure out who she is, and also find a way to forgive herself, because her son is gone. And so she starts her journey, and she kind of finds her way by marrying one wrong man after another. And her only condition is that these men don't have children, because she doesn't want to go through that again. So that's the basis of the story. And then Tambri, it's all told in first person. Tambri tells about half of the stories, and then her friends and husbands tell about half of the rest of the stories. So you get to see two sides. You get to see how this tragedy affects her as the mother, and also how it affects the people around her. Even, you know, her best friend, which it does affect her greatly, but also one of the stories is from her best friend's husband's point of view. So you can see how, you know, a tragedy like this trickles down, you know, to everybody. It touches everybody that you know. But the thing I want readers to take away from this is that there's hope in this story, and I think readers will appreciate that, because it is a heavy subject, but there's hope in the story. There's a lot of laughter in this, you know, in the book. There's a lot of humor, and that's one thing about Tambri. Even though she has suffered this tragedy, she still has her sense of humor. She still has her kindness, and really more than anything, and this goes for anybody, when you suffer something that's so tragic, you do try to find your way. You've been changed as a person, especially a mother that loses her child. So you do try to figure out who you are. And I think the main thing is that there's still hope. There's still laughter in the story, even after something like this.
That's very beautiful. And how's it doing?
Oh, thank you.
It's been out.
I'm sorry?
How's it doing since it's been out?
It's doing pretty well. I'm trying to get more feelers out there, Sherry. You know how that is. It's available on Amazon. It's available on Kindle. But hopefully this will help to promote it, too. It's doing pretty well. We're going to start a book tour. Jennifer Perry, who is my publicist with Lone Wolf Communications, she's great. We're about to start a book tour, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. So hopefully that will help amp things up even more.
Yeah, I know Jen very well.
Yes. And I'm sure you've done book tours before, Sherry. So.
Oh, yeah.
Any advice?
Have fun.
Okay,
Have fun.
That's great. That's perfect.
Yeah, whether you're doing it online or doing it in person, you're there to meet the readers, and that's so much fun because they give you what you want. They give you love. They give you feedback. Mm-hmm. They give you, this part, I loved it, but this part. But they're gentle when you meet them, especially when you meet them in person.
Yes. And that is something that I'm looking forward to because I do like to talk to people and I do like to hear their stories. I think a lot of writers enjoy that, to listen to people and hear what their stories are. So I think that will be the most fun, is talking to people and getting to meet people and to hear what they say about the book. In fact, I hadn't really thought about them, you know, what they would say to me, but you've made me think about it. So that is exciting. That's something to look forward to.
It is always fun. And you never know. I mean, I did something crazy a couple of years ago. I did a thing at Comic-Con about fan fiction, and really, I thought about 12 people would show up, and the entire room we had was filled to capacity, and people were standing in the back. It was my first Comic-Con and my first time leading a panel, and I was scared out of my mind.
I bet it went well, though. I bet it went well.
It did. It went great. It went really good. Yeah. We had a lot of fun, and everybody enjoyed it, and it was great.
That's very exciting. That gives me hope, too. That gives me hope.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go.
So you never know.
My
first signing for my book Fantasy Time Inc. when it first came out was at Barnes & Noble, and I thought, they warned me. They said, even the biggies get like 4 or 5 people at these things, so don't expect a mob. And I sold 21 books. So you never know.
I was really
excited.
I'm taking that with me. I'm taking that hope with me, so that's great.
Well, it also helped that particular place was not that far from where I worked, and people came to there.
But still, you know, it's still tough sometimes. So you didn't know. So 21 books, fantastic. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that was so amazing. And you never know. I mean, and if also another thing that I would recommend to any writer who's going out there.
Okay.
If you're at some place, like a convention, you know, I'm a goof. I'm a geek. I like different fantasy kind of genres. So I've gone to Xena conventions and science fiction and fantasy conventions, Comic-Con, things like that. So I was at a Xena convention, and they had a book display. And I said, I have a book that might fit. It's called Murder, Inc. Maybe I could put it in your next place that you're going to have a display. And they said, well, do you have any of your books? I said, well, yeah, I brought some in case somebody knew it and wanted me to sign. And they said, just bring them over and we'll display it. I sold out.
Oh, my gosh.
I had 10 books.
I think that's the best advice right there. Always carry books in your car. Always bring books with you or wherever you go. Always
wherever you are.
Wherever you are. And tell everybody about your book.
When my dad was alive, he was like my own publicity guy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So if you have relatives that are like that, very outgoing, give them a book or two.
Yes. And then they'll get things rocking and rolling for you. That's a really good advice right there. But that's one thing I would tell people too, because I've already started doing this, is, you know, telling people about the book, and a lot of times people are really excited for you. The main character in the book, Tambry, is a phlebotomist. And so I was at the doctor a couple of weeks ago, talking to a phlebotomist there. Her name is Daphne, and she was so excited that the main character is a phlebotomist. And most, that's another thing about the book. Most of the characters are, you know, working class people. And it's just a really, I guess earthy is kind of the word, because these are working class people. Most of the men that she ends up with are, you know, blue collar workers. There's one that's a truck driver. There's one that's a copy machine repairman. So it's kind of a story of an average woman who, you know, tries to figure out what her life is, and she is a phlebotomist. But the lady Daphne at the doctor's office, she was so excited. So tell everybody. She said, "Let me know, you know, when you're going to have a book signing. I'm going to, you know, show up." She says, "I've got friends of mine that are phlebotomists that would love the book for Christmas." So that's the main thing, is to tell people about your book. You can't keep it a secret. I think some people think that, you know, it is very personal. Writing a book is very personal. But the main point of writing a book is to have people read
selling it.
For me, that is. Yeah, exactly, exactly. And I think, you know, some people have different goals. Some people just want to write a book. But, you know, you want people to read your book, so you have to tell people about it. And you don't have to be, you know, selfish in the conversation. Normally they'll tell you things that relate to your book that have happened in their lives. So, you know, so it's really, you know, it's a great way to engage people. And even if
and
they don't buy your book.
People get excited about hearing it. You know,
they
that
do.
You're a writer. People like, really? You know, they're like, really? How exciting. How did you do that? And I'm like, I wrote.
It's so funny that you mentioned that, Sherry, because talking to a young woman at, I forget where it is. I think it was New York and Company, but I was telling her about it. I was checking out at the register. And one of the things she asked me, and I find it interesting, is she said, "How long did it take you to write?" Which was about 3 years. And then she said, "Did you go somewhere to write it?" I think people have these images of writers
writing
like
cabin.
Hemingway or that go off. And I said, "No, I didn't go off
a lot of
cabins, you know,
somewhere."
Exactly, or by the ocean, you know. Yeah. And I said, "No, I didn't go off and write it. You know, you just write every day." And I think that's another thing. We kind of circle back to, you know, people wanting to do this or wanting to write a book or paint a painting. I think people make it more difficult in their minds than it has to be. And I think that's one thing. People do have this image of the writer going off to be solitary, but you don't have to be solitary. You just do whatever works for you. If you need quiet, find a space in your house, or, you know, go sit outside if you have to, or go to a coffee shop and write if you need the noise. And that's really all you need. You don't even need a computer. You can write a book with pencil and paper, or pen and paper, and then you can transfer it, whatever works for you.
That's what I do, actually. I write longhand. I find that writing directly into a computer is too cold for me. I have to have that sensual feeling of pen or pencil to paper, because it just doesn't do it for me. I mean, everybody's different, I know.
Exactly.
Our guest has dropped. Just one moment while she calls back. Hi.
Hi, sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
Oh, I know. We both dropped at the same time. So.
Yes. But you were talking about it. It's so interesting.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay.
What did you say?
I said, I think it's so interesting you were saying, you know, use pencil and paper or pen and paper. And I think that's very true. There's a very earthy quality to that, to using a pen and paper. And I definitely think you use a different part of your brain when you write with pencil and paper as opposed to using a computer. So,
yep.
You know, I see why you do that. And I do that a lot of times. A lot of times I'll start something with pen and paper, or usually pencil and paper, because I like the feel of the pencil. And then I'll go to the computer, and then that gives you a couple of times to edit. So,
and I actually think it's better for your editing process to have written it already, and then go into the computer and then write, you know, as you're writing it. And then you go again. And what I always do is I print it. That can cost a lot of paper, but I print it and I go through it again. And then I send it off to my readers to double check what I've already triple checked.
Gotcha. See, that's a great idea, too. That's another thing, you know, that your listeners can think about is it's different. When you write it on paper, it's different than when you type it in a computer, and it's different when you read it on a piece of paper. You think of different ways to make it better every time you look at it. So that's a great process to go through. As many times as you can look at it in different ways, I think the better off your work is. It definitely improves your work.
And also when I get my proofs, I print it because, I don't know, I have this tendency to, when I'm looking at a screen, especially since I read so much fan fiction when I'm not doing my own stuff, is that if it skips a word, my mind will put the word in.
Yes.
So when I'm reading my own work, I do that too. So it's better that I read it on printed because then I'll say, oh, I missed that like four times. Okay, and I'll have to fix it.
Yes, that is it. It's so funny. I misspelled closet. For whatever reason, I would make it closest in the book every time. And I caught it, you know, the last two or three proofings. And your mind just fills in. It just fills in, you know, what you knew, what you meant to write. But there it is. So that's another thing for writers is to proof and proof and proof. You have to. You have to proof. And have somebody else look at it, too. I totally agree with that.
It's one of the weird things that, you know, the human eye and the human brain do. It's just, I'm not really sure why, but it's just something you have to have backup for that because it does it.
I totally agree. And one thing, okay, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, one thing I tell my students, you know, this is with a paper, so it's not as long. I think it would be really difficult to do with a book. But with papers, I tell my students to read everything backwards from the last sentence to the next sentence, and that way your brain doesn't fill in. And, I'm, you know, I guess you could do that with a chapter in your book. Read it backwards, and that would kind of help you to find the mistakes.
I think that it's one of the things that makes it smoother. And also having friends read it because they'll spot stuff that you never spot because you've read it so many times. Like I said, your brain, because you've seen it so many times, will replace things you know is wrong, even though you intellectually you know it's wrong. You'll just skip it over. The human mind is very strange about that kind of thing.
It is. You're so right. But having somebody else read it, you're absolutely right. Because really, you're in the middle of the forest and you can't see because you're so in the thick of it. You can't see everything. You can't see all the issues. So it definitely becomes a group effort to write a book, really, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You write it and then you have to have other people. In fact, my mom helped me proof it. You were talking about creative people. She helped me proof it and proof it and proof it. And then she'd say, you know, this doesn't really work here. And that's what you need to hear. You don't need somebody saying, yeah, you know.
You need that for anything, because when I was doing my memoir, I gave it to my mom and my brother to read because, well, they're part of it, but also because I wanted their input. So, you know, I had them read it, and then I had two other people read it to make sure that, you know, nothing was skipped. I mean, like you said, it's a village. We're actually out of time.
Okay.
We were only offline for about a minute, so I mean, we've actually talked through the entire 30 minutes. Thank you so much for being on the show, Sherry. I really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
I've enjoyed talking to you, Sherry. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and thank you for chatting with Sherry.